This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is a good day to be together in this time of worship, and it's my joy to welcome you, whether you're here in the sanctuary or joining us over live stream. We're glad to be together, and I would like to take a moment to invite you to register your attendance. Let us know that you're with us. If you're here in the sanctuary, there are registration pads at the middle of each row. If you would pass those down and back again. You can also scan the QR code that's in the bulletin up at the welcome paragraph. That will take you to a place where you can register online and submit prayer requests and make an offering for the day and all sorts of ways to participate in the service through that QR code. If you're worshiping online, there's a link you can put in your browser. It should be showing up on the screen to register that way. So it's good to be together on this third Sunday of Easter. Our confirmation class is on retreat as we speak, and I wanted to let you know that so that you could be thinking of them and praying for them as they worship this morning at the same time that we are. They've been on a journey together of learning, and we will be celebrating their confirmation at the 8:45 service on May 5th. So we're looking forward to that. Our youth are invited to the youth council meeting today at noon. A lunch will be provided, and it's open to all 7th through 12th graders. So we hope that you will come and join in some of the summer and fall planning. Today at 5 o'clock, the time is misprinted in your bulletin, but it's at 5 o'clock up in the fourth story theater. The writer Dana Trent will be with us. She has been with us before at West End. She has a new book out, and it promises to be a wonderful conversation, and we hope that you'll come and join us and learn a little bit more about this new book that she has written. We also wanted to let you know that we are going to be starting a grief support group that will run for several weeks. We've had a lot of loss in our congregation since the first of the year, and this is a group that's open to anyone, so it's not just for members of the church. If you have a friend or a neighbor who could benefit from some extra support on their journey of grief, it will start on Monday, May 6th, and we'll meet in Bishop's Parlor on Mondays at 6 p.m. for several weeks. Finally, tomorrow begins the United Methodist Church's General Conference. This is our global gathering of delegates from all over the world. And at the end of the service, we'll have a moment together to pray for Tom Lee, who's one of our church members and a lay delegate to General Conference, as well as Derek Weber, who's not able to be with us, but he's part of our West End family and is a member of the Indiana Conference and will be going there as a delegate. There is a lot of information in your bulletin. You can find the place on the website where you can go and learn a little bit more about General Conference, some of the things they'll be discussing and voting on, and I invite you to be in prayer this whole week for the next 2 weeks as our denomination gathers. Today, we gather around the first letter of John, and we begin to listen to the author of this letter inviting us into a life and an ethic of love. So let us open our hearts and minds to hear this word of love as we worship today.
Thank you. please join me in the call to worship found in your bulletin. Good Shepherd, you lead us in love. You guide us toward abundant life, even in the darkest valleys. You gather us in your presence to know your everlasting mercy and goodness. Trusting that God's love for us is unconditional and God's mercy is everlasting, let us make our confession with the confidence of children of God. God of goodness and mercy, we acknowledge that, like aimless sheep, we have gone astray from you. With prideful distraction, we have numbed our senses to the nudges of your Spirit. Amidst uncertain paths, we have settled for the directions of our own strength, intellect, and resourcefulness. In our self-preservation, we have not joined you as you journey with the suffering ones of your flock. Forgive us, we pray. And by the power of your Holy Spirit, renew us in love, that we might know the voice of our Good Shepherd calling us by name. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Hear this good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. And now, as a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you. One of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. And this morning, Jeff and Stephanie bring their son before God and before this community of faith for baptism.
My family in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. And all of this is God's gift, offered to us without price. Stephanie and Jeff, I ask you now, on behalf of the whole church, these ancient questions of the faith as you bring your child forward for baptism. Do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, say we do.
We do.
Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, say we do.
We do.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to all people? If so, say we do.
We do.
I think he answered that one for himself. Yeah. And will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself, to profess his faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? If so, say we will.
We will.
My friends in the congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, please say we do.
We do.
And will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this child now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with a community of love and forgiveness that he may grow in service with others. We will pray for him to be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth beautiful light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. And when you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you had promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and he who will receive it, to wash away sin and to clothe him in righteousness throughout all his life, that dying and being raised with Christ, he may share in Christ's final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen.
Grant Dallas, I baptize you in the name of God, the Father who created you, Christ the Son who redeems you, and the Holy Spirit who lives within you and will be your advocate and friend all the days of your life. Yeah. Okay, Grant Dallas, we're going to move a little closer to Mom and Dad and little big brother, and we're all going to place a hand on you and pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit in your life. Grant Dallas, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all the days of your beautiful life. Kiss, kiss, kiss. Okay, now we're going to go for a little walk, if that's okay, because this is your church family, and they want to see you a little bit closer up and give you big smiles, and in just a minute, they're going to make a promise to you. Yeah. They're going to promise to do everything in their power to help you learn about God's love for you, to help you learn what it means to follow Jesus and to use the gifts God has given you to serve the world. Some of them are going to be Sunday school teachers, youth counselors, choir directors. One of them might even be your confirmation mentor in about 12 years. So let's listen as they make their promise to you.
As in body or spirit, open your bulletins to the commendation and welcome and face Grant. Now it is our joy to welcome our new brother in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Grant Dallas to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase his faith, confirm his hope, and perfect him in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given to you, Grant Dallas. And we welcome you in Christian love as members together with you in the body of Christ. And in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
Please join me in the prayer of illumination found in your bulletin. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. A lesson from the New Testament, 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 through 24. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's good and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses to help? Little children, let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and action. By this, we will know that we are from the truth and will reassure our hearts before him whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God, and we receive from him whatever we ask, because we obey his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he has commanded us. All who obey his commandments abide in him, and he abides in them. And by this we will know that he abides in us, by the Spirit that he has given us. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I'm excited to have just a moment with the children. So if you're here in the sanctuary and you want to come join me and the other pastors up here, come on down. If you're worshiping from home, just get a little closer to your screens and we'll have a minute together. Come on down. Good morning. Good morning, everyone. I'm so glad to see all of you. I know some of you are wearing sweaters. It's gotten cold again. What is up with that? It's supposed to be warm after Easter, isn't it? Uh-oh. You okay? All right. Well, some of you may know that I like music, and I am learning to play the banjo. Oh, do you know what the banjo is? It's kind of like a guitar, and it's round, and it's usually played really fast. I can't play it that fast. So I don't really say I play the banjo. I say I'm taking banjo lessons because I've got a lot to learn before I can play that fast. But I'm never going to play that fast if I don't practice. We have to practice and practice. And that makes me think something about love. In our reading today, there was a man who wrote a letter to a church, and he said, we need to love one another, because that's what Jesus said. We need to love one another. But that can be hard sometimes, because we have all sorts of feelings, and sometimes we don't do the right thing, and sometimes we act a little selfishly. But you know what? We practice and we learn. And that's one of the wonderful things about church, is that this is a place where we get to hear God loves us. We get reminded about that every Sunday. And then we get to love each other and practice. And if I mess up and accidentally do something that is selfish and didn't help Maggie, you'll forgive me and I'll learn from that. And maybe next time I'll do the more loving thing. So let's think about church as being a place where we can practice how to love. Let's pray together. Gracious God, none of us is perfect. We make mistakes, but we want to love like you love. Thank you for the church where we can come and be reminded every week that you love us no matter what, where you give us friends and people that we can love and show love to. And when we make mistakes, will forgive us and help us keep learning. We do all this so that we can share your love with the world that you love so much. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds can go to Children's Church to learn a little bit more about love, and the rest of us can go back to sitting with parents, grandparents, or friends. Yeah. One of my favorite albums, that word dates me, one of my favorite albums from my young adult years was The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill. Anybody have that album? It is from start to finish, one piece. And she does this amazing job of tying all of the songs together by interspersing in between each song audio clips from a classroom. It's a classroom of students, probably young teenagers, and they're talking with their teacher about love and trying to define love. And that's sort of what the whole album is about, figuring out what love is. And there's one clip from the classroom with this young teenage boy, and you can almost picture him leaning back in his chair, and he says, "Love is a feeling," and then everybody starts laughing because he doesn't finish the sentence. He doesn't quite know how to finish that sentence or how to define love. And I think that's true for most of us. Love is hard to define. I remember a preacher saying one time, and I'm sorry I don't remember which preacher it was. Y'all, I'm old and I've heard a lot of sermons in my life. But he was talking about a Sunday school teacher in his church who was teaching kindergarten Sunday school, and she asked the students to define love. And one of the kindergartners said, "Love is that feeling you feel when you're going to have a feeling like you've never felt before." And that's what the going wisdom out there is, don't you think? That love is this feeling that you're going to feel like you've never felt before. What is love exactly? Our language doesn't help. In the English language, of course, we have basically one word for many different kinds of love. I love God. I love my husband and my children. I love coffee ice cream with chocolate chips, and it's all the same word. Now, many of you know, if you've been around church a long time, you've probably learned that in the New Testament, in the Greek, in which the New Testament is written, there are a few more words for love. There is philios, which is often used for friendship. There is eros, which is often used for romantic love and attraction between two people. And then there is agape. And whenever the gospel writers or the New Testament writers talk about God's love and how we ought to love one another, it is agape. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. That is agape. "Love one another as I have loved you," Jesus says to his disciples at the end of John's gospel. That is agape. And when we get to this first letter of John, where he is writing to a congregation, inviting them to love one another, he's inviting them into agape. So what is agape love, this particularly kind of holy love that is meant to define Christian community and the Christian life? Well, the writer of 1 John gives us some ways to understand it. When he says, "We know love by this, that he," Jesus, "laid down his life for us. So we ought to lay down our lives for one another." Love one another, not in word or speech, but in truth and action. So love is action. Love is a verb. Love is what we do. And it has something to do with laying ourselves down for others. Some of you are reading this book that we've suggested that we read together as a congregation during this season after Easter, Love is the Way by Bishop Michael Curry. And he has a simple and beautiful way of defining agape love. He says, Love is a commitment to seek the good and to work for the good and welfare of others, to work for the good of another, either an individual or for the public good, the common good, whatever that might be. And he gives some examples in his book of people in our own history who have laid down their own security, their own safety, their own convenience and comfort in order to work for the good of others, in order to love with agape love. He talks about Fannie Lou Hamer, this woman from Alabama who was born into a sharecropping family with 20 children. And she set aside her education to go and work on the farm. And in 1961, she went into the hospital for a minor medical procedure, and without her knowing it, without her consent, she was sterilized. And out of that experience, she became determined to gain the vote and to have her voice be heard in the public square. And because she tried to vote and advocate for that, she was beaten by the Ku Klux Klan and by the police. She was jailed. She put her life on the line again and again so that she and others could gain the vote. He talks about Frances Perkins, who was born into a family of wealth and had an education and was going about her life in New York, and one day saw that there was a factory that had caught on fire. And there were people jumping out of the windows. And from that day on, she dedicated her life to better working practices. Because of her, we have the minimum wage and the 40-hour week. And she became the Secretary of Labor under Franklin Delano Roosevelt. He talks about William Wilberforce, that great activist and parliamentarian in England in the 18th and 19th centuries, who, because of his tireless work, brought an end to slavery in England. And these stories are incredibly inspiring, and we see these real-life examples of people who have been willing to set aside their own comfort, their own well-being, their own lives even, for the good of others. That is agape. And yet there's part of me that hears the stories of these incredible, heroic people, these historic figures, and I wonder, but I'm not a hero. My life isn't going to make the headlines or the history books like these folks that Bishop Curry is talking about. How am I to live out this kind of self-giving, self-emptying love in my ordinary life? And then I remembered a story that I came across one time. It was written by a Catholic priest named Carlo Coretto, who spent some of his life living in a monastery out in the desert. And he shared a story in his memoir that has really stuck with me. And I've asked Will to read it for us, just so we could hear it in a different voice this morning. So this is Carlo Coretto's experience in the monastery.
In our community the other day, there wasn't much coffee. Coffee does me good down here in the desert. It helps me. I am old. I was worried about not having any, about spending a few hours feeling dull and weak, and so without perceiving the evil I was doing, I went into the kitchen before the others and drank up all that was left. Afterwards, having suffered all day and made my confession, I thought in shame of my selfishness, of the ease with which I excluded my two brothers from those black, bitter remains. It seems a tiny thing, yet in that cup of coffee, taken and not shared with my brothers, is the root of all the evil which disturbs us, the poison of all the arrogance which selfishness, riches, and powers create. The difference between me and Jesus is right here, in an affair that seems simple, but it isn't at all. After a whole lifetime, it is still there to make you think. Jesus would have left the coffee for his brothers. I excluded my brothers. No, it isn't easy to live with hearts like ours. Let us confess it.
Thank you, Will. So this little episode of taking the rest of the coffee and knowing he was depriving his brothers of that coffee is a little ordinary detail that nobody could really blame him for, and yet somehow in that moment is the whole of the Christian experience. Every day, there are opportunities for us to choose agape or choose the self, to act for the benefit of someone else or to do the selfish thing. And the letter of 1 John invites us into choosing and doing and loving in deed. But he makes it even harder when he says to love one another in truth and in action. Because God not only wants from us the choice of agape to put another's well-being over our own, but God wants that also to be true and genuine in our hearts. And that's even harder. Because there are times when I will choose to do the good thing, choose to do the selfless thing, but boy, do I resent it. Or boy, am I reluctant about it. Or boy, do I want credit for it. So how do we live in to this life of agape, where it not only becomes naturally what we do, but also becomes who we are in our hearts? It's a journey. It's a journey and a process every single day. An example from my own life. Last weekend, not this weekend, but last weekend, I attended the funeral of the mother of a dear friend of mine. We've been friends since seventh grade. And we had several friends from those high school years who were coming to the service, some of them coming from out of town. And on Friday afternoon of last week, I got a text from my friend Julia, "Hey, can I crash at your house for two nights?" Okay, where are my introverts at? You know how it feels, right? In that moment, I was like, oh, that is a lot of energy to expel in the course of a weekend. I'm tired. I don't know if I want to do this. All that self-talk, like, oh, resisting it. So I took a few deep breaths, and I texted David to make sure it was okay. And after a few breaths, I was able to say, of course, yes. Yes, you can stay at our house. And then after the weekend was over, after we had had wonderful time catching up with each other, shared a long dinner on Saturday night sitting out on the patio, I didn't feel depleted at all. I felt renewed and refreshed, and I felt God just smiling at me and saying, all that reluctance, all of that stuff you had to go through to get to the loving choice, here you are being blessed and filled. That is the practice. And I think if we can choose in our daily lives that agape kind of love, that God will work on us and in us and through us to transform our hearts. John Wesley had a word for that. He called it sanctification, growing ever deeper in love with God, in love with neighbor, and in love with ourselves. But it's a journey. And so don't beat ourselves up when we feel reluctant or when we make the wrong choice from time to time. God is still working on us and will not give up on us. And the really good news is we have a place and a people among whom to practice. The church is the place where we practice love with one another. The church, the congregation, is a group of people who should be ready to easily forgive one another when we misstep and make mistakes, where we can coach one another and learn from one another. This is our rehearsal hall, our practice field. The letter of 1 John is primarily addressed to the church, as one commentator put it, to intramural love, to learning to love one another within the church. So that when we go out into the world, that agape muscle is in good shape. And we can go and share that kind of selfless love with the world. It may start with the dregs of coffee in a coffee pot. But it will end with the transformation of the world. I believe that is how God works. Thanks be to God.
In response to the gospel, I invite you to rise in body or in spirit and to join me in reciting the affirmation of faith. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life and death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. One of the ways that we practice this is agape love is in the sharing of our hearts with one another, our praying with one another, and our coming alongside in solidarity, both in joy and also in suffering. If you would like to share prayer concerns with our pastoral team that we might pray for you throughout the week, we invite you to follow the link under the Contact Us link on our website or to fill out the gray pew card in your bulletin, or in the pew right in front of you, and to leave that card in the offering plate here in a few moments. I do want to also direct your attention to the Pray With Us portion of your bulletin. Those are ways that you might pray for the persons we will both share here in a moment, as well as others throughout the week. Today, we celebrate with great joy the birth of two children within our community. We celebrate the birth of Bennett Emery Ribbling, who was born on March 17th, to Emily Grace and Michael. He's also welcomed by his big sister, Margot. We also celebrate the birth of Charlotte Grace Cooch, who was born on January 19th, to Sarah and Stephen Cooch. She is welcomed by her big sister, Claire. We also invite you to be in solidarity of mourning with a number of folks in our community who are grieving today. We grieve for the loss of Margaret Peggy Kasparis Gross, who passed away on April 7th. Services will be held in the sanctuary on June 13th at 2:30 in the afternoon. Visitation will precede the service beginning at 1:30. Aaron, Dave, and Miles Racine are mourning the death of Aaron's aunt, Ann Peer, who passed away on April 9th. Martha Harbuck and her family are mourning the death of her sister-in-law, Becky Harbuck. John and Linda Murdoch and their family are mourning the death of John's mother, Joanne Murdoch Cromer, who passed away in Birmingham, Alabama on Sunday, April 14th. Services will be held at a later date in Memphis, Tennessee. Helen, Rick, Isabel, and Vivian Sanders and their family are mourning the death of Helen's mother, Ann DeZeichs, who passed away on April 9th in Santa Cruz, California. Services are planned for a later date. As we now have a time of praying together as a community, as our youth so beautifully led us last week, I invite you to respond to the petition, Lord, in your love, with the response, hear our prayer. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Give ear, O shepherd of Jerusalem, you who lead Joseph like a flock. Stir up your might and come to save us. Restore us, O God. Let your face shine that we may be saved. Saving God, we join in this prayer of our ancestors as we trust you to lead us into the fullness of your joyous love. As you promise to lead us by still waters, we ask your Spirit to pave a way through the busyness of our lives and to create a space for us to be still with you and to rest in your restoring grace. Lord, in your love, hear our prayer. In our longing and in our wanting, we pray that you would protect us from false loves that assault our attention and seek to direct our desire. Stir up our desire for Jesus and for the desires of the one who lays down his life. for justice for the oppressed, and release for the captive, wholeness for the unwell, forgiveness for the sinner, and peace between the nations. Lord, in your love, hear our prayer. In our grieving, in our suffering, and in our dying, grant us strength to raise up our heads and to lift up our hearts to trust in your abiding comfort. Sustain those whose days are filled with tears. Assure those who near death with the hope of eternal life and everlasting reunion with their beloved ones. In the power of your Holy Spirit, our advocate, draw us together that we might be present with those whom we know are isolated or feeling alone. Fill our tables with surprising friends, that we might overflow with your mercy and your goodness all the days of our lives. Lord, in your love, hear our prayer. In all our hopes, we join our voices with your Son, the Good Shepherd, who is teaching us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Friends, let us now gather our gifts together and offer them to God in gratitude and praise. Those of you joining us online are invited to give via the options listed on the screen, while those of us in the sanctuary, we will pass the offering plates down each row. You may also use the QR code, which is printed in the bulletin, to give digitally through our website. May we give with joy to the God who has given so much to us and has trusted us with abundant life.
I'll invite you to be seated for just a moment, and I'm going to invite Tom Lee to come forward. And if anyone else is going to General Conference, and I haven't learned that, we invite you to come forward as well. LaDonna, are you going to go with Derek? Would you mind coming up forward? So this is LaDonna Weber, and her husband is Derek, if you haven't had a chance to meet them. They worship here every Sunday. He works for Discipleship Ministries and is an ordained elder in the Indiana Conference, and he's going as a delegate on behalf of that conference. Our own Tom Lee is a lay delegate from the Tennessee Western Kentucky Conference and also a nominee for the Judicial Council, which is like the Supreme Court of the United Methodist Church. So we pray especially for you as you bravely and courageously put yourself forward, and we pray that that comes to be. So we just wanted to take a moment to pray for them, and I would love to invite anyone who feels led, who feels deeply about General Conference or who knows them and wants to come and lay hands on them as we pray. That's an ancient tradition of the church, the laying on of hands. So let me give you just a moment to come forward, and we will say a prayer together as a congregation. Would you all kneel at the altar rail? Here come some folks. Thank you. The hands that you lay on them represent us all. Let us pray together. God of the Church Universal, God of the Cosmos, God of the United Methodist Church, we take this moment as one of your little congregations in this corner of the world to pray with hope and faith for the work that your Spirit has done, is doing, and will do through the church that's called the United Methodist Church. You have given us a unique identity, a beautiful theology, and a way to be in your world that has already made a tremendous difference. And yet, oh God, you know our troubles and what we have been through in recent years. And so we pray now as the church prepares to gather, as Tom and Derek take their responsibilities as delegates to represent us and the people of your church, that you will surprise us with joy, that you will break through and make a way forward for us to be fully your people, for this congregation to live fully into our mission of inclusion of all people. God, it is our deep and abiding hope. And most of all, we pray that this conference will be wrapped in your love and open to your Holy Spirit. We pray all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, whose body we are. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Please keep these friends in your prayers. There's information in the bulletin about the website and ways that you can keep up to date as the meeting goes on over the next 2 weeks. But let us sing together in faith and joy as we send them on their way.
Thank you.
this rehearsal hall, on this practice field, we have heard the good news that Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, that we are fully and completely loved, having been filled with that agape love, having been shaped by our time together. Let us go forth from this place to share that same agape with God's beloved world. Amen.